B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel, and we're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Omud Beis. We're just in the middle of the sugya that Rav Chisda said that even though you're not allowed to put a dish underneath a lamp to collect the shemen, so too you're not allowed to put a dish underneath a chicken to catch an egg, but you are allowed to turn a dish upside down on top of an egg that it should not get trampled. And Rabbah explained that even though you're not allowed to move any kli, if the purpose is to serve something that you're not allowed to move, something that's muktzah, however, in order to rescue from a damage that is common, it is allowed. And therefore, one is allowed to turn a kli upside down on a laid egg, because it's common that there should be eggs lying around in these surfaces, and people should not trample them on them. You're allowed to save the egg by turning a kli upside down. Says the Gemara, Eisvei, we're going to ask a kasha on Rabbah. Noisnin kli tachas haneir lekabil nitzoytzois. The halacha is, it's a Mishnah, you're allowed to put a kli underneath the lamp in order to receive the sparks that are falling from the lamp, even though these sparks are not very common. So how are you allowed to move a dish in order to save whatever is under the lamp from getting burnt? It's called a hatzola, which is not common. And why are you allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, Nitzoytzeis nami shchicha. It's common for sparks to come out of a lamp, and therefore, since it's common, then you're allowed to save the table or whatever's under the lamp from a danger that is common, and therefore, it's muta. Continues the Gemara Eisvei, we're going to ask another question on Rabbah. Koifin ko'oro al haneir, you're allowed to turn a dish upside down on a neir, shelo yeiches b'koira, in order that the pillars on the roof should not get burnt. Over there, it would seem that it's a hatzola, which is not shechiach, it's not common for beams to get burnt, so why should you be allowed to turn a kli upside down in order to save the beams? You can't move the beams. And if you can't move the beams, you should not be allowed to move anything for the beams unless it's common. And this is not common, says the Gemara, Beboti Gechini. It's talking about a room with a low ceiling, the Shicha Beit Leika, and it's common that there should be a danger that they should catch fire. And since it's a common danger, you're allowed to move a kli in order to save yourself from that danger. Continues the Gemara, V'chein Kairo Shenishbara. And a beam that broke and is hanging down from the ceiling. You're allowed to support it on the back of a chair or with the sideboards of a bed. And here too, we would have thought that it's not common for these beams to break. Why should you be allowed to move any kli, even though that kli is not muktzah, to serve a beam that is muktzah? Says the Gemara, B'kashura Chadita, we're talking about new beams that have not yet been tested for their strength, and you've just made the roof, and the roof has become a bit heavier, and you don't know if the beams will be able to support it. Da'avidi de'poki, it's common that they should get cracked, and they should split, and since it's a danger that's common, you're allowed to serve those beams in order to protect the home or anyone getting hurt. Continues the Gemara, Noisnim kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put a kli underneath a hole, a leaking hole, so that the rain dripping in should get collected in that kli. It's not common for there to be a leak in the house. Why should you be allowed to move any kli in order to collect the rain, which is very uncommon? Says the Gemara, Beboti Chadita, we're talking about a new home, Deshchichi Dedolfi. It's common that there should be a leak there, and since it's common that there should be a leak, you're allowed to use and move a kli in order to collect the raindrops. Continues the Gemara. We saw in Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis that it was Rabbah that explained Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda explained why, or Rav Chisda said that you're not allowed to put a kli underneath a chicken to collect the egg, but you are allowed to turn the plate over the egg to protect it. And Rabbi explained that hatzola, to save something that's common, you're allowed to do on Shabbos, and not if it's uncommon. Rav Yosef is now going to offer another explanation for the halacha of Rav Chisda. Rav Yosef Omar Hainu Tamud Rav Chisda Mishum De Mevatil Kli Mihichonoi. A regular kli is muchen, it's available to be used. And Rav Chisda says, if you're going to put a dish underneath a chicken to receive the egg, and after the egg is on this plate, the plate is now muktzah with the egg, it's the base for a muktzah, it's a basis and is muktzah. So what you've done is you've deprived this kli from its availability. It's called mevatel kli mihichonoi. Rashi on the Mishnah explains that the problem with that is, it's as if you're fixing the plate onto the table, it's as if you're cementing it in its place, and that's osur on Shabbos. Turning a kli upside down on an egg is not mevatel meichona. You can take it at any time. It does not become a bosis, and therefore it's muta. Says the Gemara, Eisvi Abaya. Abaya is now going to ask a question on Rav Yosef's explanation of Rav Chisda. Chovis shel tevel shenishbaro mevi kli achir umaniach tachter. If a barrel of tevel got broken, and now all the liquids or the fruits or whatever's in it is now getting ruined, and the only way to save it is by putting another kli underneath this to receive the tevel, the halacha is that you're allowed to put a kli under this chovis, under this barrel, to save whatever's in it. And why should that be mutter? You're being mevatel kli meheichonai, because the tevel is mukta. Omalei, says the Gemara, no, tevel muchanhu. Even tevel, it's true that you're not allowed to eat it before you take Trumas and Maisras. And it's true that the Chachomim said you're not allowed to take Trumas and Maisras on Shabbos. But however, Muchen hu etzel Shabbos, Shem Ovar v'tikno, if somebody did an Avera d'Rabbonon, and he did take Trumas and Maisras, Mesukon, it's no longer Tevel. And therefore, in Hilchas Shabbos, we do not perceive the Tevel as being completely Mevatel Meichonoi. We see it as something that is potentially usable. So if you put a kli underneath it, it's not mevatel kli mehichonoi in an absolute oifen, and therefore it's muta. Continues the Gemara, noisnin kli tachas aner lekabil nitzoitzos. The Mishnah says you're allowed to put a kli underneath a lamp in order to receive the sparks and prevent a fire from breaking out. Over there, putting the plate under the sparks, you're being mevatel kli mehichonoi. And according to Rav Yosef, who explained Rav Chisda, that should be osa. Sparks have no substance, and therefore even once the sparks have landed on the plate, there's nothing really in the plate, and you can move the plate afterwards. You have not made it a bosis for something which is mukta. You've not deprived the plate of its availability of being used. You can move it even after the sparks have landed on it. Continues the Gemara, v'chein kairo shenishbara, a beam that got broken, soimchin oisa basavsol oibarukois hamito. You're allowed to support that beam with a bench or with the sideboards of a bed. Even though once you support this beam, you're not going to be able to move the safsal or the arukois hamito. They're going to be trapped, they're going to be jammed in. That's also a form of mevatel kli meichonoi. You're depriving it of its availability of being used. Says the Gemara de Rafi, you don't jam it in, it's just placed there lightly, and if you want to move them away, you can, and therefore it's not called mevatel kli meichonoi. Diboye shokilu, if you want, you can take them. Continues the Gemara, noisnin kli tachas hadelef b'shabbos, you're allowed to put a kli underneath the leaking roof in order to receive the rain. Now, once the rain is in this kli, you're not going to move it anymore. The rain is mukta. And therefore, this kli, you're being mevatelit from its availability. Why is that muta? Says the Gemara, b'dele faroyu. We're talking about a type of rain which is not mukta. What rain is mukta? Only rain that's not drinkable. However, if it's drinkable water, for whatever reason, that particular rain is drinkable, and therefore you're not being mevatel the kli meichonoi. You're collecting the water. Afterwards, you take the plate with the water and you can drink it. Continues the Gemara, koifin es hasal lifneo efreichin sheyalu v'yerdu. You're allowed to turn a vessel, a basket, upside down near where the chickens' coop is, and in order for them to jump up. And once this kli is there, it's going to have to stay there. You cannot move it on Shabbos. With chickens on it, you're not allowed to move it. It's going to be a bosses for the chicken. How are you allowed to put such a basket there? It's mevatel kli mihichonoi. Says the Gemara, kosova mutter l'taltului. That Mishnah assumes you're allowed to move that cell even after you put it there. Asks the Gemara v'tanya also l'taltului. The Braisa says you're not allowed to move the basket once it's put there. Says the Gemara, bo'idon olov. It's only also whilst the chickens are on the basket. But as soon as they hop off the basket, you're allowed to move the basket away. But the Braisa says it remains mukta even after the chickens are no longer on the cell. Even afal pisha ein oidan olav osur, it's still osur. Omer bavo b'oidan olav kol bein hashmoshes. When does the Braisa say that the basket becomes mukta the whole Shabbos, even when the chickens are not on it anymore, and then it would be called mevatel kli b'hichonoi? That's only if the chickens were on this kli the entire time of Bein HaShmoshes, the entire duration of Bein HaShmoshes, and then there's a rule, Migudu Iskatsoi LeBein HaShmoshes, since this Kli was Muktzah, the entire Bein HaShmoshes, Iskatsoi LeKule Yoima, it remains Muktzah, the whole of Shabbos, even if the chickens are not on it later on, it remains Muktzah. However, in our case, in that Mishnah that says that you're allowed to put such a basket there, is talking about when you put it on in the middle of Shabbos. In the middle of Shabbos, whilst the chickens are on it, it's mukta, it's a basis. As soon as the chickens are off, you can take the basket away. It was not there Bein HaShmoshes, and therefore it's only mukta whilst the chickens are on. Since when the chickens hop off, you can take it away, it's not called mevatel kli mihichonoi, and is muta. Continues the Gemara. We saw in Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis that according to Rav Chisda, you're not allowed to put a dish underneath a chicken to receive the egg, but you are allowed to put a dish over the egg to protect it. Rabbi Yitzchok in the next Gemara is going to argue with that. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, k'shem she'ein noisnin kli tachas tarnagoyles lekabel beitzasa, exactly in the same way as you cannot put a kli underneath the chicken to receive the egg, kach ein koifin oleo kli, you're not allowed to turn a kli upside down on top of a freshly laid egg, bishvil shaloi tishaber, to save it from getting broken. Why? Kosova he holds, ein kli nitil elo ledova nitil b'shabbos. If you want to move a kli, you're only allowed to move it if the reason, the intentions of moving it, is for something which itself is allowed to be moved. Since you're not allowed to move this egg, you're not allowed to move any kli for the sake of protecting that egg, which is not movable. Asks the Gemara, meisvei kol hanityuvta. All the questions we asked before apply here as well. All those Mishnayos that we saw, that you're allowed to move kelim for things that seem to be mukta, for seem to be osa, whether it's the sparks, whether it's to save the house from getting burnt, whether it's the beams, whatever, all the cases we learned. Says the Gemara, v'shoni b'tzorich lemakoymoi. You're right. To start moving a kli in order to serve something which is mukta, that you're not allowed to do, according to Rabbi Yitzchok. Ein kli nitel elo ledova nitel b'shabbos. However, once you're moving a kli for a good reason, let's say that this kli was in a place and you needed this place for something else. L'tzorich makoymoi. So I'm moving the kli. Once I've got the kli in my hand, I was allowed to take it. Once you're allowed to take it, you can put it wherever you want, even to serve something that something is not movable and not takeable, it's not nitil on Shabbos. But tzorech l'mekoymei, says the Gemara Toshima, achas beitza shenolda b'Shabbos, an egg that was born on Shabbos, which is mukta, it's noilad, v'achas beitza shenolda b'yontav, and an egg that was born, that was laid on Yom Tov, which is also noilad, it's also mukta. Ein metaltolin, you're not allowed to move anything. Lo lechasis boes akli, not, you're not allowed to use the egg in order to cover the hole, an opening of a kli. And also velismeich bokaria mita, you're not allowed to rest a bed on an egg. When you stand an egg on its points and you do it in the right position, you can even support a bed on it. You're not allowed to do that. Avol. You're allowed to turn a kli upside down on a freshly laid egg in order that it shouldn't get broken. And here we have a question. Since this egg is einoi nitel, it's mukta, how can you move a kli and turn it over to serve the egg? Says the Gemara Hachanami, b'torach mekoymoi. We're talking about that this kli that you're using to protect the egg, you didn't take it for the egg. you took it, if you had another reason, you needed the place where it was before. Once you've got it in your hand, you can put it wherever you want. You can even put it over an egg. Says the Gemara, Toshima, Poyrusin machzolois al gabe avonim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to spread mats over stones on Shabbos in order to protect them. And the stones are muktzah. How can you move a mat for the sake of the stones? Says the Gemara, b'avonim mukuruzolois, we're talking about pointed stones. They're not muktzah because they can be used for a person to wipe himself in the bathroom. You can use them in the Beis HaKisei, and therefore the stones are not muktzah, the stones are nitel. If the stones are movable, then the mats are allowed to be moved to serve the stones. Continues the Gemara, Toshema, Poilsin machzolis al gabe levonim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread mats over the levonim, different types of stones, on Shabbos. Those stones are muktzah. So how can you move a mat? The mat in its own right is not muktzah, but how can you use it, move it, in order to serve the levenim which are muktzah? Says the Gemara, the ishtiur mibinyona. It's true that the levenim that are designated to be used in a building, they are muktzah. However, these stones were left over after the building. The chazion lemizga alayu. Now that they're left over, they were used in order to lean on. They used to sit on the low couch, and they used to lean on something behind them. They would use these stones to lean on. And since they would use these stones to lean on, they're not muktzah. They were not designated to be used for building. If they're not muktzah, they're movable. If they're movable, then you can move something else, namely the mat, in order to protect them. Toshima, Perusin machzeles al gabe kaveres devoirim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread a mat over a bee's hive on Shabbos. Bechama mipnei chama, to save them from the sun, or bekshomim mipnei agshomim, and to save them from the rain. Or bilvad shelo yiskavin lotzud, unless on condition that you don't intend to trap them there. If you spread a mat, a machzeles, over the hive, you may end up trapping them. As long as you don't intend to trap them, it's muta. And the question is that these bees are muktzah. So how can you move the mat in order to serve the bees? Says the Gemara, Hocha b'mayaskinon d'ikad vash. I'm not trying to serve the bees, I'm trying to serve the honey. In the hive, there's honey. I want to protect the honey. The honey is not muktzah. I'm allowed to spread a mat in order to protect the honey. Amalei Rav Ukva mimeishon Rav Ashi. Rav Ukva from Meishon asked Rav Ashi as follows, Tinach b'mayisachama. I can understand in the winter when you're trying to save the honey from the rain. The ikadvash, there's honey there, and therefore the mats are going to serve the honey, and the honey is not muktzah. And Tosfos explains in what case the honey is not muktzah, because honey that's still in the honeycombs, in some situations are muktzah. You're not allowed to take them away on Shabbos. But we're talking here about dvash, honey that's not muktzah. However, b'mois hageshomim in the winter, the lekadvash, there's no honey in the beehives. You're spreading over the machzeles. You're not allowed to spread it over to protect the bees because they're not nitel. There's dvash. There's no dvash there. So how are you allowed to spread over machzeles to protect from the rain? What are you going to answer? Now, this question, Rav Ukva Mimeishon asked Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi himself is going to give an answer further down the Omud, and there's a discussion whether the answer the Gemara is going to offer now is the Gemara's answer, or is it Rav Ashi giving a different answer. Either way, the answer is Lo nitzrecho elo lo'ison shtei chalois. It's true that the honey is made in the summer, and at the end of the summer, the master, the owner, takes the honey away, and they do not make more honey in the winter. However, in order that the bees should not die of starvation, the owner leaves two chalois tvash, two honeycombs, inside the beehive, in order for the bees to eat. And those honeycombs are there right through the winter. To protect those honeycombs, which is nitel, technically speaking, you can take them and eat them on Shabbos. To protect those honeycombs, you're allowed to spread mats over the hive. Asks the Gemara, Varmuktis Ninu, since they have been designated for the bees and not for people, it's muktzah. And again, you're not allowed to move a mat in order to serve something that's muktzah. Says the Gemara, Dechoshiv Alayu, if you intended and you thought about and you intended to take from this dvash, to eat from this dvash, and not to designate it entirely and exclusively for the bees, then it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, "Haloi choshev olayu mai? What's going to be the halacha if you did not intend to use this dvash for yourself? Also, then it's going to be asa, because it's going to be mukta, and you're not allowed to move the mats to serve something that's mukta." Ask the Gemara, "Yehocha had tanya b'levad shaloi iskavin lotzud? Why does it say that you're allowed to cover this beehive on condition that you're not going to trap the bees? When you're already making a condition, why don't you make a condition that's more associated to what we're discussing, more directly? You should have made an exception, a condition within what we're discussing. It should have said, under what circumstances are you allowed to cover these honeycombs? Is only if you thought about using them for yourself. But if you did not intend using them yourself, and they were designated exclusively for the bees, also then it's asa. Why do you say it's only mutter if you don't intend, or if you don't trap the bees, but if you're going to trap them, it'll be asa? You should say a different condition. Says the Gemara, Hok Mashmalon. There's an added chiddush here. Afal pisha chishev elem, we're talking about that he thought about them. And even if you thought about the dvash, and you intended taking some of the dvash yourself, even then, it's going to be asa if you're going to trap them. As long as you do not intend to trap the bees, then it's going to be mutter, but providing that you had in mind to take some of the dvash yourself. Says the Gemara, Mani, this halacha that we just learned now, that you're allowed to cover over a beehive with a mat, ubilvad shelo yiskavin lotzud, you do not intend to trap the bees. Reb Shimon, if it's going to be Reb Shimon who says a dovo she'einei miskavin muta, even though it's a malacha of trapping, but since you do not intend to trap the bees, you don't want to trap the bees, it's muta, lesle mukta. According to Reb Shimon, he doesn't hold of mukta in most cases, and there would be no problem of covering a mat even to save the bees, never mind the honey. He doesn't hold of mukta. Reb Yehuda, and if it's going to follow Reb Yehuda, who says that even a dovar she'enei miskaven is asa, kiloi miskaven mayhava, what does it help that you don't intend to trap the bees? If you are trapping the bees, it's asa. Ha dovar she'en miskaven asa. It should be asa to cover the hive with a mat, you're trapping the bees. Says the Gemara, L'oilam Reb Yehuda. You're right, this is Reb Yehuda. Mai ubilvad shelo yiskavin lotzud. The words ubilvad shelo yiskavin lotzud, on condition that you do not intend to trap, it doesn't mean you may well be trapping them, but as long as you don't intend to trap them, that wasn't your intention, it's muta. No, it means shelo yaseno kemetzuda. It means that on condition that you do not trap them, make sure that the way you put the machzeles, the mat, is in a way where the bees are not going to be trapped. You have to leave a little bit of space in order that they shouldn't automatically and by default be trapped, and they should have an escape, and if they can escape from that hole, it's not seder. And that's what it means, ubilvad shelo yiskavin lotzud. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi is now giving another answer to the question that Rav Ukva Mimeshon asked. Rav Ukva Mimeshon asked that you said over there in the Mishnah that you're allowed to cover the hive to save from the sun and to save from the rain. And we said that that's talking about summer and winter. And Rav Ukva asked a question, in the winter there is no honey there. And then we had to answer that there is a bit of honey there, even in the winter. It's the two honeycombs that the owner leaves behind, etc. Rav Ashi's got a much simpler solution. Rav Ashi Omar, Miktoni b'imoysa chama? Did the Mishnah there say that we're talking about the summer, or b'imoysa geshomim in the winter? B'chama m'pnei chama? It says that you're going to protect the beehives and the honey from the sun. U'b'geshomim m'pnei geshomim, and from the rain. It doesn't talk about the seasons of the year. It's ubik shomim mipnei akshomim ktoni. It talks about the rain, not the winter. B'yoyim in Nisan or b'yoyim in Tishri, in the month of Nisan and the month of Tishri, de'ikah chama, It's not the middle of winter where there's no more honey. There's still honey there, and there's rain, and there's sun. And in those months, you're allowed to put a mat over in order to protect the beehives. It can be full of honey, and it's mutter because you're covering it to save the honey and not to protect the bees. And there's honey there because it's not yet the middle of winter. Continues the Gemara. Omar Luhur Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, Puku, when you go up to Eretz Yisrael, v'imru leilu Rav Yitzchok, say to Rav Yitzchok, kvatir gemar Rav Huna l'shmaiteich b'bovel, that Rav Huna in Bovel already said what you, Rav Yitzchok, said, that ein kli nitil elo l'dovar anitil, you're only allowed to move a kli to serve something that itself is movable on Shabbos. D'omer Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, "Oisin mechitza lemeis bishvil chai, ve'in oisin mechitza lemeis bishvil meis." If there's a dead person and you want to make a mechitza, some partition to protect it, you're allowed to make a partition to serve a live person. You may not make a partition to serve a dead person because a dead person is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. It's mukta. Maihi. The Gemara is now going to explain what's this halacha of Rav Huna. Dom Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, v'chein tonar shila mori, mei samutel b'chama, if a dead person is lying in the sun, boin shnei b'nei odom, two people come, v'yoishvim b'tzido, and they sit on the floor on each side of him. On a hot floor, we're talking about a hot day. Cham lohem milamata, underneath them the floor is hot. Zeh mei v'mitov v'yoishiv aleo, this one can bring a bed and sit on it. V'zeh mei v'mitov v'yoishiv aleo, and this one can bring a bed and sit on it. They're feeling hot from the sun scorching down on top of them. They bring a mat, and they hold it above them with their hands. They don't put it onto some poles or anything. They just hold it above them, and that's allowed on Shabbos. Once he's holding up the mat, a person is allowed to stand up and just make a support for the mat that he's holding with his hands. He takes the bed he was sitting on, he lifts it up to support the machzelus on top of him. And then this person, for all intents and purposes, he can leave. V'nishmat v'hoylichra, and he can go away. V'zeh zoykif mitosoi, and the other person can do the same. He can lift up the bed to support the machzelus that he was holding up with his hands. V'nishmat v'hoylichra, and then he can go. V'nimtzei, so then it turns out, what transpires, mechitza asuya me'eleo. What you're left is with a mechitza, with a separation, with a machzeles that's covering the mace. But this machzeles was made for the live people that were there, to serve them, and not to serve the person that is not alive. And here, the Mefarshim Rashi already explains, why did we have to go at length, first sit on the floor, then bring the bed, then bring a machzeles, hold it with your hands, then bring a bed. And Rashi explains that an oihel, even though this is an oihel arai, it's a temporary type of separation, nonetheless, you're not allowed to do it in a regular fashion, starting from underneath, first putting up poles and then making a covering. You have to do it in a strange way with a shinui. You first have to step by step, in order that it shouldn't look as if you're going to serve the dead person, you first sit there and step by step you bring the beds, then you bring the machzeles, then you hold the machzeles up with your hands. Now that the covering is in position, and now it's the opposite the way you normally make a covering. Normally you first start with the poles and you put a covering on top. Here, the covering is there first, you're holding it with your hands, and then you place a support under the covering, namely these beds, you stand them upright to support the covering, that is mutter. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, Meis hamutl b'chamo, if a dead person is lying in the sun, and he could get foul, and it's not covered. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Hoiv chay mimito lemito, you're allowed to, he's on one bed, you're allowed to roll him over onto another bed, and then from that bed to another bed, one after the next, and that way, in an indirect way, without touching the mace directly, you're moving him from place to place until he comes to a shaded spot. That's what Shmuel says. Rav Chanina Bar Shlam Yomishmei Derav, in the name of Rav it was said, Omar, Maniach Olov Kikor Oitinek, you can put a loaf of bread or a child on top of the mace, and then the mace will become tofel, will just be considered as if an annex to the bread and the child, umataltale, and then you can move the dead person as if you're moving the child and the bread, and just by the way, the dead person is being moved as well. Says the Gemara, Heicha de'ika kikor oitinoik, if there is a loaf of bread and or a child available, kule alma le pligi dishori, everyone says that's muta on Shabbos. Ki pligi, the machlekas is, delesle, when there's no available child or no available loaf of bread. Marasova, Shmuel holds, tiltul minatzad, Rav holds, sorry, that tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul, you're not allowed to move a mukta, even if you're doing it indirectly, without touching it directly, by rolling him from one bed to the next. It's osa, it's called that you're tiltul, it's called you're moving mukta. Or marasova lo shmei tiltul, and Shmuel holds that since it's minatzad, it's indirect, it's not considered moving the mukta, at least directly, and therefore in this situation, you're allowed to roll the mace from one bed to the next until he reaches a shady spot. Says the Gemara, Leima Ketanoi, it could be that the discussion whether tiltul min atzad is called tiltul or not is a machlekes tanoim, because we learnt in a brisa, ein matzilin es hameis mibnei adleika. If you have a dead person who's in a home that's burning, you cannot save that dead person from the fire. The dead person is mukta. Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish argued, and he said, Shamati, I heard, shematzilin es hameis mibnei adleika. You can save the mace from the fire. Hey chadomi. What's going on here? What's the circumstances? If there's an available loaf of bread or a child, my tama de Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama say that ein matzilin es hameis? Ideleka, if there is no child or loaf available, my tama de Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. How's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish saying that you are allowed to save the dead person? Elolav, it must be betiltul minatzad pligi. We're talking about where there's no bread or loaf available. The question is, are you allowed to move the mace by rolling it from one bed to the next? Tiltul minatzad. The Marasova tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul. The Tanakama who say that ein matzilin es hameis, that you cannot save him, they say tiltul minatzad is osur. You have no choice, you're not allowed to move him. Or Marasova lo ishmei tiltul. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, who says that you do save him, he says that tiltul minatzad is not called tiltul, and therefore it's muta. Says the Gemara Loi. There's no reason, you don't have to say that this machlokes tanoim is whether tiltul minatzad is muta or not. Dekule alma tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul. It could be both tanoim say that tiltul minatzad is called tiltul, and therefore it should be osa. V'hainu tamud Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish say that you're allowed to save the mace? He says to mitoich she'odom bohul al moisei, since a person is very worried to protect the dead person, iloi shorisle, if you're not going to allow him to move the dead person, and Rashi says, in this case, you can move him even without tiltul minatzad, because tiltul minatzad is called tiltul, you don't gain anything. You can move him normally. Why? Because a person is bohul, he's worried, he's concerned, he's anxious, v'iloi shorisle, if you're not going to allow him to move the mace, osi lechabuya, he's going to do a severe issa of Shabbos and extinguish the fire. Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, Omer Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Yechanon, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis, the halacha is regarding a dead person, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, you are allowed to save him from the fire. Continues the Gemara, ein ni'usin heimenu lefi she'enu min amuchan. We saw before that if the oil drips into a dish from the lamp, you're not allowed to benefit, you're not allowed to take any of this oil on Shabbos and benefit from it on Shabbos, even though it's not in the lamp anymore. Why? Because it was not available at the onset of Shabbos. When Shabbos came in, it was in the lamp. It was designated to be burnt in the lamp. Now it dripped out. It's still osa because when Shabbos came in, it was not min amuchan, it was not available. Tonu Rabbonon, Moisur Hashemen Shebeneir Shebekara Osur. The leftover oil in the lamp and the dish underneath it, Osur, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos because it's eino min amuchan. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to use it, because Reb Shimon, as we've seen before, has many kulas, many leniencies in Muktzah. He says, since at the beginning of Shabbos, you knew that it could drip, and you may well want to use it, so it's not really Muktzah. He didn't designate it in an absolute way for the lamp, and therefore it's not called mukta according to Reb Shimon. And mutter, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to take the leftover oil in the lamp, all the oil that's dripped onto the dish, and use it on Shabbos. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to learn the Mishnah.